The Yeshiva Gedol of Johannesburg proudly presents the Wednesday evening shiur, covering the Parashas HaShavua, the Yomim Tovim, and other special topics as delivered by its founder and Rosh HaYeshiva, Rabbi Israel Chaim Goldfein, Zichrono Livrocha. Details regarding how to order additional shiurim follow immediately after the conclusion of the shiur.
This week's Parsha is Parshas Vayakel. In the Parsha, Lamed Ches, Posuk Ches, it states, Vayas is Akior Nechoshes, Veskane Nechoshes. Torah is telling us of a detailed description of the building of the Mishkan, the sanctuary, from all of the various articles which the people contributed. And it states, Vayas, and he made the Kior Nechoshes, the copper fountain, Veskane Nechoshes, and the copper base, B'mareis Hatzeves Asher Tzovu Pesach Oel Mohed, from the mirrors which those who gathered together brought as they gathered in the Pesach Oel Mohed by the entry of the tabernacle. This fountain was used by the Kohanim, by the priests, when they would go to the Mizbeach, to the altar, or to do the Avodah, to serve in the sanctuary, or subsequently in the Beis HaMikdash. They would sanctify themselves from the water of this fountain. They would wash themselves. This gave them an extra sanctity in preparation to serve in this place. Now, what does it mean that if these were made from the copper mirrors of the people that congregated? So Rashi brings from the Medrash, it refers to, and also the Targum brings, that it refers to the women. These were the mirrors of the women, b'mechzayin neshayo, who congregated. As a further explanation, Rashi brings from the Medrash, b'noshi Yisrael hoye b'yodan maris shireis behen kishein miskashteis. The daughters of Israel, they had these mirrors that they would gaze into when they would beautify themselves. I'm going to read it right from the English. They used to look into these mirrors when they adorned themselves, and even these they did not hesitate to bring as a contribution towards the tabernacle. But Moshe was about to reject them, since these were made for vanity. When the women came with these mirrors, Moshe did not want to accept them. Why? Because they're made for the Yetzirah. The Yetzirah is the evil inclination in the person. This is the evil nature which was placed in him. And why does a person want to look in the mirror? For purposes of vanity. So therefore it has a tarvuvus, it has a mixture of the Yetzirah. And Moshe refused to accept him. He said, a mirror is all right in its proper place. Perhaps in a person's bedroom. But to bring these mirrors and to use the copper from them, to make the Kior Vekanai, the fountain, which was used to sanctify the Kohanim, he says, this is something which is unacceptable. Omar le HaKadosh Baruch Hu Kabel Ki Eilu Chavivin Olai Min HaKol. So the Almighty said to Moshe, accept them. These are dearer to me than all of the other contributions, because through them the woman reared these huge hosts in Egypt. Sitzovaus, which means gathering, gathered, also refers to a great, great gathering. And the great gathering of Klal Yisrael, the great numbers of Klal Yisrael that existed today, after the 210 years in Egypt, this schus, this merit, went to the women. And it was through these mirrors. Through them the women reared those huge hosts in Egypt. For when their husbands were tired through the crushing labor they used in Egypt, they used to bring them food and drink and induce them to eat. Then they would take the mirrors, and each gazed at herself in her mirror together with her husband, saying endearingly to him, "See, I am handsomer than you." Thus they awakened their husband's affection, and subsequently became the mothers of many children. And this is what it says in Shir HaShirim, "I awakened thy love under the apple tree," referring to the fields where the men worked. This is what it refers to when it states, Marais HaTzavos, the mirrors of the women who reared their hosts. And this is why it states, HaKadosh Baruch Hu said, accept them, and also to use them for the fountain. Because this fountain was also used, Lasum Shalom Bein Ish L'Ishtay. From this fountain, when there was a question, there was a doubt cast upon a wife that she was not loyal to her husband, so she could prove her innocence through the water of this fountain. This is what is meant, that Bayas is a kior nechoshes for his kandai nechoshes, Bemares hatsovos, from the mirrors of the women which created these huge gatherings, Ashetzovu Pesach El Moed. Now we could ask a question here. If Moshe wanted to reject these because Asuim Leyetzohora, because they were made for the purposes of the Yetzohora, of the evil inclination in man, then how is it and the Yetzohora is the Tachlis Hara. We have many, many Gemaras and many, many statements from the Chazal that state when HaKadosh Baruch Hu created man and he gave him a power of good, he also gave him a power of evil. And this evil, this potential evil that he gave to him, is unparalleled. It is, there are no limitations to what this evil can bring man to, and as history shows us and teaches us, this was the Yetzirah. So if these mirrors were asuin liyetzirah, they were made to use for purposes of the Yetzirah, so how is it that they could become niskatshu, they could become sanctified to the point where they could be transferred into the material necessary for the Mishkan, and even for the Kiyur, the Kanoi, that gave sanctification to the Kahanim before they came to the Mizbeach, before they came to the altar of Hashem. What do we see from here? We see that both is true. Moshe's reason, his argument was true, but HaKadosh Baruch Hu's argument was also true. That something that was used for purposes of the Yetzirah, if used properly, can be elevated not only to acceptable standards, but to the highest possible standards of sanctity, where it can be used for the fountain which would sanctify the Kohanim, Begishtom El HaMizbeach, as they approached the Mizbeach Hashem. Now, it wasn't long ago, it was just a few weeks ago in Parshas Truma, that I gave a shir, and it was based on a Gemara in Masechta Brochos. The Gemara brings on Daf Yud Zayin. The Gemara says, Magala Bapuma Dabaya. Abaya used to always say, Lahelom Yehi Odom Orum Biyira. A person should always be very clever when it comes to serving Hashem. It's not enough to just serve Hashem with closed eyes. Achochem Einav Bereishoy, Achochem Reyes Anoled. A wise person, his eyes are in front of him all of the time. He has to be very clever and very cunning when it comes to serving Hashem. Laharim bechol mine or maliyir, as Bayre Rashi says. To use every type of wisdom and tact when he comes to serve his Creator. And this is what it states in Mishlei, Ma'neirach Meshiv Chema. That if someone, for example, comes and starts shouting at you and is very angry, and he starts heaping abuse upon you, so the nature is to turn around and yell back at him. So that's not being clever. Being clever is you answer him very softly, and you talk very nicely to him. And such a retort will bring back his wrath. It will send away his wrath. Meshiv chema. Marbish. And however, see, to the contrary, that if a person will shout, that will only make the other person more angry. Now here is a case where he's a chochem. He's an orum b'yira. He's very clever when it comes to Yiras Hashem. He knows when to say something and how to say something. This is what Abaye would always teach. Mar b'sholem imechov. He's a person that would go out of his way to be nice to his brothers, vim krevov, and his relatives, vim kol odom, and to everyone, vafilu im nochri shebeshuk, and even to the non-Jew in the marketplace. And therefore he was an ov lemala v'nechvan lemato. And therefore he was beloved to Hashem, and he was beloved to people. V'yei mekubal al habriyos, and then people would listen to him. And then he would bring from Rabbi Yechon ben Zakkai that was like that. That Rabbi Yechon ben Zakkai made sure to be friendly to everyone. And there was no one that ever said good morning or hello to him before he said to others. And we also brought from Aaron, HaKohen, that this was his quality. And we brought from Hillel, how when people wanted to come close to Torah, but they had demands that were very, very difficult to meet or very, very unreasonable. And Shammai drove them away, and there was nothing wrong with Shammai's conduct. But nevertheless, Hillel, through a great deal of wisdom and tact and diplomacy, brought them, Tachas Kanfi Ashkina, brought them to Yiddishkeit, little by little. He didn't come and say, you want to be a Jew, you want to be a Fruma Jew, this is what you have to do. And he threw the whole Torah at them. Now, he said it's very easy, and little by little, he brought them Tachas Kanfi Ashkina. It was with Orma, with cleverness. This was a subject that we gave a shir on a few weeks ago. And incidentally, we also brought that the Vilna Gaon and the Michel Salanter would always impress this point. It states that someone who would learn Torah and he would learn Musar, but he didn't know how to go bein habriyos, he didn't know how to deal cleverly with people of the Esakol, then all of his wisdom he would lose when he would go bein habriyos between people. Now, when we spoke then, we spoke basically on the relationships between Odom Lechavera, a man and his fellow man. How to get along with people. And influence them to come to Torah and to mitzvahs, like Aaron HaKohen. There's another aspect, though, that to be clever and wise in the ways of fulfilling mitzvahs also has its place between Odom Lamokom. When it comes to mitzvahs between man and HaKadosh Baruch Hu, he also has to be very wise and very clever. Not that he has to be diplomatic with HaKadosh Baruch Hu, he has to be diplomatic with himself, with his Yetzer Hara, even in dealing not only amongst people, but between he himself and HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Now, why do we say this? Because the Gemara in Kedushin tells us that the Yetzer Hara is very clever. Very, very clever. And therefore, if a person wants to succeed in this world, he's going to have to outsmart, be more clever than his Yetzer Hara. And it's not enough to go with closed eyes in the world. The Gemara tells us this in Masechet Kiddushin, Daf Lamed Omid Beis. The Gemara says, after it tells us how awesome and awful the Yetzer Hara is, Shafilu Yetzre Korora, even the Almighty calls it Ra, evil, as it states, Ki Yetzre Levo Odom Ra Minu Urav, that this evil is in man right from the beginning of his life. So it states, Omar of Yitzchok Yetzre Shalodom Yitzchadesh Sholom Bechol Yom. Every day, the Yetzer Hara comes with a new idea on how to overpower man. Shnema rak ra kol hayom. He's rak ra kol hayom, every day. Doesn't come with the. He's not like an enemy who is not so clever and therefore is using old strategy all of the time. In the military academies, they study the great strategies of great army generals. But the textbooks are different plans that have been used, the same plans through history. The Yetzer Hara is cleverer than that. It states, Rak Rak Kol Hayom Mishadesh Bechol Yom. Every day he comes with a new strategy that he might not have used before. Actually, it's for this reason that some say, why do we find constantly new movements all of the time in the world? See, there'll be a movement of communism, and there'll be a movement of socialism, and then there'll be a movement of the emancipation, and there'll be a movement of liberalism, and always new movements. See? And that makes Kurban in the world. That makes destruction. They say that's from this Gemara. See? Because if we only had to deal with communism forever, eventually we'd crush it, like you see now, and then finished. But the Yetzer, it's his job to mislead man all of the time. So therefore, he has to be mishadish b'chol yom, every day. So once communism is finished, he'll replace it with something else. Then the Gemara says, Omar Reb Shimon ben Levi Yitzre Shalodim Mizgaber Lo Bechol Yom. Not only is he Mizchadish, does he come with something new, but Mizgaber, he comes with a stronger power every day. He's not an enemy that you can wear out or you weaken. He becomes stronger every day. He never gets tired. You might get tired. He doesn't get tired. Umevake shamisoy. And he wants to kill the individual. That's what he wants. Right? He wants to destroy the individual. He'll tell him, here, do this. And he'll woo him into doing that, and then a little more, then a little more, a little more, until eventually he can totally destroy him. As it states, Sefer Rosh HaLetzadik Umevakish Lahamisoy. So, therefore, the Chazal tell us that when it comes to dealing with the Yetzer Hara, no, not only do you have to have enormous endurance, and not only do you have tremendous, you have to have tremendous strength, but you have to be very clever. Very clever, because you're dealing with, just like if you were dealing with an enemy that was very clever, you couldn't go, in Yiddish there's a sign with Blinde Egen, you couldn't go with closed eyes. So is it when it comes to the Yetzer Hara, to serving HaKadosh Baruch Hu. The Chazal tell us in Masechet Shmochis, it states the Yetzer Hara is like a tinek. Yetzer Hara is like a child. Just like a child. Smol Decha, do you mean Mikarevis? You must hold him in line with your left hand and be nice to him with your right hand. So is it with the Yetzer Hara. Smol Decha, you must hold it in line with your left hand and be nice to it with your right hand. So it compares the Yetzer Hara to a child. Now, a child, to bring up a child and to educate him in Torah and in Midas Tovos and in Derech Eretz and in worldly things is probably the most difficult task that a man has. Not easy. And it's a whole chokhmah. It's a whole wisdom. And you have to approach it very, very carefully. You can't just be tough with him. You know, a child, everybody knows, you've got to be tough with. You have to discipline him. And you have to show him who's boss. And you have to teach him to have respect for his parents and his elders and to be a mensch. Otherwise he gets favilda. He becomes like a wild animal. He'll never go to school, he'll never sit. You gotta be tough with him. But at the same time, everybody knows you just can't be tough with him now. You gotta be nice to him too. So you're nice to him. But once you're nice to him, then all of a sudden everything you taught him he forgets. And he takes advantage. So you gotta be tough with him. So what is it? You have to be both. The small decheu, who you mean mekarevus, with one arm you bring him close, and the other arm you show him to keep his distance. It has to be that mix. So it says, so is it with the Yetzer Hara. You have to go with the same cleverness. With one hand, you have to push the Yetzer Hara away, and with the other hand, you have to bring it close. It's interesting, it states that with the left hand you push him away and the right hand you bring him close, which means that the Keach HaKiru, this that you bring it close, both by the Yetzer and the Tinaik, has to be a little stronger than this that you give mazetz with. Alright? But it must be with a wisdom. And if a person doesn't go through life with this wisdom, then it states, the Chazal called that person, many people think, well, you go through life and it'll take care of you. Now, and that, it states, Ksil b'cheshechele, that's a fool that walks in the darkness. It's not b'chinam, it wasn't for nothing that HaKadosh Baruch Hu gave a man eyes and a brain to think with. And a person who goes through life like that is domo b'reshe, then he's ma'avid, he's destroying his own self. So we see that there's a great cleverness. Just like a person has to be Orem B'Chochmo, that he has to Orem B'Yira, go with a great wisdom when it comes to deal between he and his fellow men, he has to go with a great wisdom also when it comes to dealing with he and HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Not that he has to be clever with HaKadosh Baruch Hu, he has to be clever with himself and his Yetzer Hara. Now, two things are mentioned here. One is to keep the Yetzer Hara at a distance, this power of evil that man was created with. And the other is Makarev, to bring the Yetzer Hara close. Now, we're very accustomed, what does it mean to keep the Yetzer Hara at a distance? This, we have many, many cases. And I'll mention a few just shortly, because the other aspect, to bring the Yetzer Hara close to you, see, that's something which we're not so accustomed to and would need a little more explanation. The Keach HaTchiya, to keep the Yetzer Hara distance from you, is, for example, a Chazal tell us, Harchik, it's a Mishnah Masechta Ovis, Harchik Mishochen Ra, Ve'al Tischabel Roshu. Keep your distance from a bad neighbor. And don't become friendly with a bad person. See, this is advice. And this is the advice of Shmuel Docheu. Keep the Yetzer Hara distance from you. What does this mean practically? Practically, it means thousands of things. The Yetzer Hara knows that if he'll just approach you and wants you to do something which is totally out of line, then he won't have a chance of convincing you. So, therefore, what does he say? He says, go to that place or become friendly with these people. That's something which is more reasonable. Once you do that, then you fall under the influence of those places or that person or those people, and then the Yetzer Hara has you. See, this is his meschadish b'chol yom tamid, that every day he comes with a new strategy. The Chazal cautioned us many, many times, don't put yourself under the influence of evil, and don't tempt yourself unnecessarily. Never, never, never underestimate the power of the Yetzer Hara. And never overestimate your own power. And this, as we mentioned, has thousands and thousands of applications. How many times do people ruin their lives from Torah and mitzvahs? Many times, like today, they speak of immigration. And when they speak of immigration, so they take into consideration, naturally, you need a good job and a good position. And it has to be a pleasant city and so forth and so on. And then, and everything is perfect. And then you ask them, what about Yiddishkeit? Oh, they say, that's the one problem. See, it's in a city where there are not too many Jews, or there are not too many Orthodox Jews, or there's not a shul nearby. The nearest shul is 60 miles away. See. Or there's not a Beis Chinuch, there are not educational facilities. But everything else is perfect. So what do? They uproot themselves and their families. And, heaven forbid, they lose their families. Later on they tell you that I never realized this what happened. My son, he's growing up not like a Jew. My daughter, the same thing. And they're going out with non-Jewish people, and so forth and so on. Well, the person wasn't very clever to begin with. The Yetzer Hara was far cleverer. He got him a good offer in some place, who knows where, and everything was perfect except this thing. Or, many times you have people that they want to move into a different neighborhood, or they want to go to a city, because of Parnosa, or because everybody's moving there. See, everybody's moving there, therefore they want to move also there. Till then, they were close by to a shul. Now, they're 3-4 miles, 3-4 kilometers from a shul. But they'll make an etzah. So they put themselves in a position that makes places them right in the Yetzer Hara's hands. Little by little, they don't go to shul. Or they start to drive to shul on Shabbos, which they didn't have to before. Or it's too long of a distance now to send their children to the good school that they were sending them before. So they have to make compromises in that also. There's another such applications. Or sometimes you have people, many times, people will tell you that I live in such an area, or I daven in such a place, and it's a place where there's all kind of Loshon Hara or Rechilus or Machlekes or Kalis Reish. Say I go to a shul and they don't take anything seriously there, and they're just talking, and people come and they're not interested and so forth. So you ask them, well, is there something you can do? Can you influence them? If you can influence them, it's a great mitzvah for you to do this. Well, I've tried, but I can't. So then why do you daven there? Or why do you hang around there? Or why do you associate with these people? Then go someplace else? Well, because of this, and because of that, and because of this. You know, I have to associate with these people. They'll give a half a dozen reasons why. Meanwhile, they are falling right into the hands where the Yetzer Hara wants them to be. Exactly. He doesn't have to tell them to make machlekes. He doesn't have to tell them to speak loshen hora. He doesn't have to tell them to speak during davening. It's all he has to do is tell them to be friends with such people that do. And that's more reasonable. And then as the time goes on, a person is wasting his life with all of these things. So that's one example. We have another example. The example of the Nozir. The Nozir is an individual. It states by an individual who was Yazir min Ayayin. He felt that he couldn't control himself. He was falling. And he couldn't control himself. So therefore the Torah gives an Eitzah. Counsel in such circumstances. Make a harchoka, distance yourself from what you feel you are becoming submitted to. Like it states by the Nozir that he shouldn't drink any wine, he shouldn't even eat from the vine. Or he shouldn't even go near the vineyard if this is the case. This is another case of harchik, doheu. Now this also has literally thousands of applications. You have people who are able to control themselves in various situations, but you have others who are weak in various situations. A person who has a problem with alcohol. So what is the Eitzah? Then he has to distance himself from all alcohol until he's able to control himself. How many people have become lost, become addicted to drugs? Because they tell you, later life, they'll tell you, look, when we were in school or the people that I was with, it was harmless just to try once or twice or just occasionally. They flirted with the Yetzer Hara. They were not docheil. They did not keep their distance. And so is it with everything like that. And so is it with when it comes to midas tovos. Because I'll tell us that a person who has a weakness when it comes to getting angry, then he has to work on himself never to get angry. If he has a weakness when it comes to hating people or taking revenge or being jealous, then he has to work on himself never to be jealous and never to hate. Distance himself as much as possible from it, and then he'll develop good qualities. And this the Gaon writes, a hergol shilton ala kol. Once it becomes, the good quality becomes part of himself, then that will rule. But until that time he must distance himself. So that's another example. A third example we have is what the Torah writes and the Chazal in regards to Yichud. A person should not put himself in a situation where he might fall to temptation. for example, shouldn't put himself in a situation where he's in a secluded place with another man's wife. Otherwise, he's walking right into the hands of the Yetzer Hara. Right into the hands. Yetzer Hara will tell him, look, it's nothing. You're not doing anything wrong. But how many lives and families have been ruined from a situation like that? See, that's another example of Docheu Bishmor. And a person must realize, the Gemara in Sukkah tells us, actually it's in Brochus, Daf Tes Zayin Amud Beis, B'tchila Yetzohore Deime Lechut Shel Buchya Ublesev Deime Kavei Seis Ha'agola. The power of the Yetzohore on the person to begin with only has the power, the strength of a thread which goes into a needle. Before you fall into his hands, you can free yourself from him, just like you can break the threads that go into a needle. But once you fall into his hands, then he eventually will have strength over you like the reins of a wagon. The type of reins that you tied a wagon to oxen, that's what he becomes over you. And this we see from the generations. Not long ago we gave a shiur on the generation that we live in today, where you see reform after reform after reform. When it came to the movement of the liberals to liberalize every thing that before was held as taboo, it started a little, then a little more, then a little more, until everything becomes permissible. It was known the generation that we are living in today, or just moving away from, maybe history labels it as the permissive generation, because everything that was prohibited and nobody would think of doing slowly becomes permitted. We see this the same thing when it comes down to breakdown in law and order. Same thing. Used to be, people will tell you, not only in South Africa, all over, they used to tell you that this wasn't necessary, that wasn't necessary, because nobody would commit such a crime. It just wasn't heard of. But once it becomes done, and is done again, it becomes accepted, and then it goes another step, and another step, and another step. That mitchila, before, it was like chut shel buchya. You could have broken away from it like a thread, and then it becomes to a person kaveses ha'agola, like the heavy harnesses of a wagon. So these are a few examples in Docheu, how we must be very clever with the Yetzer Hara, that he shouldn't outsmart us, but we should outsmart him when it comes to pushing him away and telling him no, keeping distance. But now it states, Mikarva Biyamin, there's a time for you to be friendly to him and bring him close to you and bring him into your life. What does that mean? This power of evil that we should bring into our lives. The Gemara brings in Masechta Sukkah, Daf Nun Beis Omer Aleph, Omer Rabin. It states, Dalet HaKadosh Baruch Hu Mischoret Aleihem Sheboru. There are four things that HaKadosh Baruch Hu has great remorse over that he created. One is the nation of the Kazdim. Another is Yishmael, the nations of Yishmael. Another is Golus, the exile. And the other is the Yetzer Hara. The Yetzer Hara, HaKadosh Baruch Hu, always has remorse that he created. The Maral asks Kasha in his Nesiv Keach HaYetzer. if he always has remorse that he created him, so why did he create him? And if he wanted to create him, so why does he have remorse? So he answers with a medrash. The medrash in Bereishis Rabba, Perek Tes, Ostes, Rav Nachman Bashmul Bar Nachman Mishem Rav Shmul Bar Nachman Omar. What does it mean that after HaKadosh Baruch Hu created the world, it says Vayar, Hashem saw as Kol Masha also everything he did, Vihinei Tov Mi Od, and it was Tov Mi Od. Every day he said it was Tov. After he created everything, he said it was Tov Mi Od, very, very good. Every day it was good, but now everything was very good. What does it mean, very good? So Tov is a Yetzer Tov. Tov is the Yetzer Tov, the power of good that he imbued in man. Tov Mi Od, what does it mean? He saw it was very good, it's a Yetzer Hara. That's the power of evil he imbued in man. Is the Yetzer Hara very good? The fact is, we see here that the Yetzer Hara is better than the Yetzer Tov, because the Yetzer Tov was only called Tov, was good, but the Yetzer Hara was called Tov Mi Od, very good. So the Gemara says, Esma, the Medrash, is the Yetzer Hara, the power of evil imbued in man, very good? Says yes, it is. She'ilula yetzohora, because if not for the power of evil imbued in man, lebono odem bais, man would not have ambition to build a home for himself. Ve'leinoso isha, he wouldn't have ambition to get married. Below holid, he wouldn't be interested in assuming the responsibility of parenthood. And he won't be interested in assuming the responsibilities of setting up businesses. And what would the world be if men won't build homes for themselves, and they won't marry, and they won't assume responsibility of parenthood, and they won't get up in the morning and go to work? What would the world look like? You have certain isolated places like that. Okay. And what do we call these places? You say these are bums. This is a bum. A guy that doesn't want to build a home for himself, he wants to sleep on the street. And he doesn't want to get married. And he doesn't want to assume responsibility of parenthood. He doesn't want to go to business and get a job. What is this? This is a person who doesn't want, shirks all responsibilities of humanity. Let alone, who's talking about the greater responsibilities? Who's talking about greater responsibilities to become leaders in society? Or to do something great in society? You got people that do all types of enormous work for society. They build hospitals and they build homes for the needy, and they become leaders of nations and whatnot. So what would the world look like? It would look like a world of bums. So now we have to give a very great yashar koach to the Yetzer Hara. Because look, even with the Yetzer Tov, the Medrash says, if the person would only have the Yetzer Tov, it states now, you would have a world of bums and femmes. But now with the Yetzer Hara, oh, it's a different story. Now a man is interested in building a nice home for himself, and he's interested in finding a nice wife for himself, and he's interested in giving birth to children, and he's interested in building businesses, and you have a world. And Shlema HaMelech saw this. This is what is meant when Shlema HaMelech said in Keheles, ki hi kinas, ki akol kinas ishmerehu. Shlema HaMelech says that this whole world is built on kinas ishmerehu,
He says, well, one watches the other what he's doing, and he wants to be as good as him. Now, generally we mean that Shlomo meant it l'gnai. See, he meant it, he says, what kind of world is this? See, everybody's only interested in keeping up with the Joneses. Everybody's only interested in outdoing the next guy. See? And everybody's only interested, therefore, in jealousy. Shlomo HaMelech didn't mean it l'gnai. He didn't mean it. He was an insight into the world. He says what keeps the world going and what keeps the world moving and what keeps man moving is not his Yetzer Tov, no, but it's his Yetzer Ra. It's the fact that he keeps looking at the next fella and sees what he's achieving, and then he looks at himself and says, why can't I do that also? That's what keeps the world going. So therefore, HaKadosh Baruch Hu created the world, and he looked around at it, and he saw that everything was Tov. That was the Yetzer Tov. But Tov Me'od, what was very, very good, that was the Yetzer Hara. So this is what is meant, that he's Mischoret. HaKadosh Baruch Hu, what does he mean? He has remorse that he created it. This is looking at it from a perspective. We're talking about two perspectives. Looking at it from the perspective of isolation by itself, HaKadosh Baruch Hu has remorse that he created it. He doesn't like it. The Yetzer Hara, it says, Afilu Yetzra, even the Creator called it Ra. It's the ultimate of evil that can drive a person, like history shows us, to the greatest evils possible. You can become a tyrant with it. So, from the perspective of it in itself, he has remorse that he created it. But from the perspective that it's not in isolation, but man uses it properly in his life, oh, that the world needs. And therefore he created it. In other words, it's like a sharp spice of something which is bitter that you put into the food. Alone, it's a bitter pill. But when you put it together properly with the rest of the food, it makes it into a delicacy. It becomes something else. And the Rambam tells us the same thing. It's based on this. The Rambam says at the beginning of Perek Gimel of Hilchos Deos, this is very important. See, therefore a person, just as he has to be afraid of his Yetzer Hara and very careful, he has to have respect for his Yetzer Hara and be thankful for it. Because without it, many people wouldn't bother getting up in the morning. The Rambam writes, Shema Yemar Odom, Ail Va Kino Va Taiva Va Kovet, Uki Yetzer Behem Derech Rohim. The Chazal tell us there are many, many evil qualities. And the three worst are the Kino, jealousy, envy, Taiva, physical desires, and Kovet, and the lust for glory and honor. So maybe a person will say that since these things and other such things are Derech Rohim, they're evil. And the sages warned us, if we're not careful with this Motzinus Odom in Olam, it'll drive you out of the world. People destroy themselves because of jealousy and envy. You speak to psychologists today, and they'll tell you that the problems, people come because they live together with envy. They live with jealousy. They live with hatred. They live with quarrels. They live with these frustrations, and these frustrations are destroying the people. They're destroying themselves with it. And psychologists try to deprogram a person, see, to get all of these out of the systems, because they're eating up a person alive. So perhaps a person will say that if this Chazal tell us, Metzines Odom Min Ha'Olam, will drive a person out from this world, therefore, Efreish Men B'Yeser. Therefore, I will not have anything to do with these things. Yisrachik letzara achrein, and I'll go to the opposite extreme. I won't eat good food. Tasty food I won't eat. Leishteyain, leyechal boser. I won't eat meat because it tastes too good. I won't drink wine because it tastes too good. Lo yisoy isha, I won't get married. I won't live in a nice house. I'll live in a hut. Say, why should I live in a nice home and furnish it nicely and make it beautiful? This all has to do with the Yetzer Hara. This has to do with kina and with taiva and with kovet. See, I won't dress nicely. Why should I dress in clothing that's beautiful? This all has to do with the Yetzer Hara. Right? I'll dress in clothing. I'll look for clothing that is colorless. I'll look for clothing that's ugly. And this is how I'll dress. Or a sack, vahatzemer akosha. See, I'll put on sackcloth or I'll put on heavy wools. Kigain kahane aivdi kechovim. There were whole movements. Today you have isolated groups like that. See, this was the hippies were like that. And so forth, what they used to call them, the flower boys and so on. But these were movements. The Rambam says, like the Kahani Evdi Kechovim, he says the priests of the idolaters went like that. That's why they would go up in the Himalayas or they would go up in other secluded spots and they would live lives of where they wouldn't allow themselves to indulge in anything. Gamze derech rohi. This also is the Yetzer Hara. This also is the eighth of the Yetzer Hara. Ve'osa leilech bo, and you're not allowed to do this. Amalech v'derech zu nikra cheta. And someone who goes into this way is called a cheta. He's a sinner. Because we even see by the nozer only abstained from wine alone. And still the Chachamim said that he's a sinner. Because he is prohibiting on himself something which the Torah didn't prohibit. And that was from only one thing. Therefore, the Chazal tell us, don't forbid on yourself anything that the Torah did not forbid on you. And don't aser, don't create new isurim with nadorim, with vowels, and so forth and so on. It's not enough what the Torah said you can't eat or drink or do. He says this also refers to someone who constantly fasts or who constantly denies the body what it needs. Right? A person is not allowed to deny from himself what he needs. And that's what this is what Shlomo HaMelech said. And Keheles al titzarik harbe. Don't be too righteous. You should be righteous, but not too righteous. Al tischakim yesa. And don't try to be wiser than your Creator. Lometishemein, because otherwise you'll drive yourself totally away and into isolation. So basically, the Rambam is saying what we're learning in the Medrash, and the Gemara Brochas tells us. And of Nun Dalar Omar Aleph, Chayavodam Levorech Al Aro, Kishem Shem Vorech Al Atova. A person has to bless evil just like he blesses good. Now the Gemara brings one interpretation, which is the common interpretation, that he has to bless Hashem not only when something good happens to him, but he has to bless Hashem even when something not good happens to him. In other words, we shouldn't be a person who's only thankful to Hashem when we get our way. Just like a father and a son. If the son gets his way, it's a good father. If the son doesn't get his way, it's a bad father. No, we're not supposed to be like that. We're supposed to thank HaKadosh Baruch Hu on what in our eyes is good and what in our eyes is not good. That's one interpretation. But then the Gemara brings another interpretation. What does it mean that you're supposed to be Mevorach al Ara, Kishim Shem Mevorach al Atova? It refers to the two Yetzers. You're supposed to bless the Ra, the Yetzer Hora, and the Tova, and the Yetzer Tov. As it states, V'yafteis Hashem Elokecho b'chol levavecho. that you should love HaKadosh Baruch Hu b'chol levavecha, with all of your heart, and levavecha is plural, with both hearts. What does it mean, both hearts? Shnei yitzorecha, b'yitzeh tov b'yitzeh hara. Both powers which are in your heart, the power to do good and the power to do evil, you have to love HaKadosh Baruch Hu and serve him with both. It's not enough only to serve him with the power to do good. You have to serve him also with the power to do evil. The Maral makes a good observation. It says, what is it? When does it say this? It says it on the Pasuk, we are after Es Hashem Elokecha. You shall love HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Ava, to serve from Ava, is the greatest level possible. The greatest level that we have, where you can come close to HaKadosh Baruch Hu, is where you serve him via after, through Ava. That highest level can only come through the Yetzer Hara also. B'chol levavecha, with both hearts, with what you have in your heart, both the power of good and the power of evil, you must serve him with. So this is the same, foundation. Now, what is meant by all of this? 2 points. First point is that if man was not challenged and he was not given the opportunity to do something great, then what he does, and if everything he can do, it's all downhill, it's easy, then that will not give him the self-attainment and the self-perfection. Then when someone has to achieve something against enormous obstacles, if HaKadosh Baruch Hu didn't put the Yetzer Hara in the world, so then man would do good by nature alone. On the other hand, another person who has the Yetzer Hara standing up against him at every corner, then when he does good, it's not through nature alone, but it's only through enormous labor, and he attains far greater self-perfection than the first one. So this is the first reason why the Yetzer Hara is in this world, and then he can come to higher levels. But there's a second reason, like we see from the Medrash, that we see that not only because he can overcome his Yetzer Hara, but because he utilizes the Yetzer Hara. He utilizes the Yetzer Hara in serving HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Like it stated, like because of this he builds a house, he gets married, he has a family, he assumes responsibilities. Now what is meant by that? The example is as follows. What would happen if a person, heaven forbid, he had no power of taste? When he eats, he tastes nothing. When he drinks, he tastes nothing. He has no power of taste, and he has no realization of the nourishment and the relief that food and drink is bringing to his body. The doctor tells him that if you want to be well and strong, you must eat 2 or 3 good meals a day, and you must drink so many glasses of liquid a day. And this person is a very, very pious, disciplined person, and he follows the doctor's orders and instructions. In other words, let's say that his whole eating is only intravenous. This is a person who is fulfilling all of the functions of eating and drinking mitzar hasechu, purely from the intellectual perspective. As a personal body function, he feels nothing. It's an intravenous into the system. But mitzad haseichel, from the intellectual perspective, he knows that he must eat and drink. Doctors will tell you that this whole exercise is not going to be too successful. Because firstly, how long will he keep it up for? He'll keep it up for a while, but after a while, he'll skip a meal, he'll skip this, and so forth. Secondly, is his heart in it? What heart? Okay. He comes 1 o'clock, lunchtime, and hooks up the pipes. Okay. What, his heart is in it? See, his soul is in it. His mind is in it. The mind is only one aspect of the human being. Now let's say you have another individual who has a hearty appetite. Very, very good, healthy appetite. And it happens he has a good appetite for healthy food and healthy drinks. And he realizes, not only does he realize with his mind the importance of proper eating and drinking, but he feels it. He enjoys a good meal. He looks forward to the point when he'll be able to sit down and have a good meal and something good to drink. Now this is a person who's fulfilling the same function, not only from the intellectual perspective. He's doing it because he knows he has to do it, and therefore he guides himself to eat properly and to drink properly. But the kol ha'odom, the entire person, is in this exercise. His whole heart is in the exercise. His whole body is participating in it. The fact is, every fiber of the individual is enjoying this immense exercise of nourishing himself, of bringing life to himself. The doctor will say, and that person, I'm not worried that he won't eat what he has to eat and that he won't drink what he has to drink. And not only that, it's going to do him a lot better than the first fellow. This is what we are speaking about. The first person is eating with his Yetzer Tov alone. And on this world, that is what is referred to as a Shvacha Maisa. That's a very weak exercise. That's what HaKadosh Baruch Hu said. It's Tov, it's good. But the second person is eating not only with the power of the Yetzer Tov, he's eating with the power of the Yetzer Hara also. And that HaKadosh Baruch Hu saw, Tov Me'od. That's Tov Me'od. You take that out of its proper perspective, and it's Ra, it's evil. And therefore HaKadosh Baruch Hu never wanted to create it in isolation. But you put it together with a person who has a Yetzer Tov also. And the person with the Yetzer Tov guides it properly, but then utilizes it and brings it into this work. Oh, that's now you have an entire man. Kolo Odo. That's a different thing altogether. And that's why HaKadosh Baruch Hu created it. This, what we're referring to, is true in mitzvahs. When a person does a mitzvah, he has to do a mitzvah mitzad haseichu, because this is what HaKadosh Baruch Hu commanded. But he has to throw his entire self in it. Otherwise, he's fulfilling it only from the intellectual perspective. But a man is more than an intellectual perspective. He's fulfilling it only as a part of a person, not as an entire person. If he does a mitzvah because he sees other aspects in it, or he's learned to enjoy it, that's a different mitzvah now. He does it because HaKadosh Baruch Hu commanded it. But he learns to enjoy it too. For example, a person goes to shul as he takes medicine. because HaKadosh Baruch Hu says I must go to shul. See, just like the doctor said I must take this bitter pill. Alright, that's one level. But a person who goes to shul because HaKadosh Baruch Hu said I must go to shul, but also he loves to go to shul, he loves to go to davening in the morning, he enjoys it. Many people will tell you, I enjoy it. He loves to go to shul in the evening or whatever it might be, Shabbos. I enjoy it. I enjoy a good chazan. I enjoy the davening. I like to. He's not going only because he enjoys it. If it wouldn't be a mitzvah, he wouldn't go. But he has geared himself not only to do the mitzvah because HaKadosh Baruch Hu likes it. That's the initiative. See? That's the catalyst. But together with that, he enjoys it. For whatever reasons there might be. Oh, that's a different going to shul. That's a different davening. That's kol ha'odim. A person who builds a house, because HaKadosh Baruch Hu said you should build a house and get married and live like a mensch. That's good. But he can't be merely an intellectual angel. See? It's mixed in a few other things, elements, where he enjoys the home. He enjoys the beauty of the home. He enjoys his wife. He enjoys his family. That's a person who's fulfilling the mitzvah with everything he has. That's totally old. There he's he's serving HaKadosh Baruch Hu not merely as an angel would serve him, but with a man also, as a man would serve him. And therefore, you have to give a yashikeach not only to your yetzer tov, but also to your yetzer hara. Now, this, what we're speaking about, is especially true in the study of Torah. When it comes to the study of Torah, the Gemara Kiddushin brings on Lamed Omid Beis the same Gemara. It says excuse me just 1 minute, I'll find it here. Tana de Rabbi Shmuel. Rabbi Shmuel learnt. Beni. He said, my son. If one day the Yetzer Hara comes and he confronts you, he wants to take a hold of you, what should you do? So he says, Moshkei lebeis ha-medrash. Drag him into the Beis HaMedrash. Take him into the Beis HaMedrash and learn. Now we can ask two questions on this Gemara. If the Yetzer Hara confronts you, so it's to say simple. You want to get rid of him? Yasek B'Teir. Sit down and learn, you'll get rid of him. Didn't say that. He said, Moshkeil the Beis HaMedrash. Put your arm around him and take him to the Beis HaMedrash with you. Why didn't he just say Yasek B'Teir, sit down and learn? Secondly is, why do we need him in the Beis HaMedrash? He calls him a manuvel. A manuvel means, you know, the worst type of person. So what do we need him in the Beis HaMedrash for? You leave him outside of the Beis HaMedrash and you go into the Beis HaMedrash. You need him in the Beis HaMedrash. Right? Instead it says Moshkeo, put your arm around him, bring him to the Beis HaMedrash and learn Chavrusas with him. See? Why? The answer is, is like we said before. It states that the Yetzer Hara, there's a time to be matcheu, to push him away, and there's a time to be makarvei. Put your arm around him and bring him close. When it comes to Torah, firstly, if you would just say Yasek B'Torah, it's not so easy to tell the Yetzer Hara, go away and I'm going to sit down and learn. because the greatest Yetzer Hara is always against the greatest mitzvahs, and the greatest mitzvah is Talmud Torah Keneged Kulam. So it's not so easy just to tell him, go away and I'm going to sit down and learn. You're going to have to be more clever with him. See? So you tell the Yetzer Hara, yeah, you're right. He's coming and saying you shouldn't learn. You can't tell him you should learn. You're right. We won't go learn. Let's just walk into the Beis HaMedrash. See, you have to be clever with him. In other words, clever with yourself. You don't feel like learning. And it's a hot day, or it's difficult, and you're tired. It's much easier for you to do something easier. So don't force upon yourself to learn. Just tell yourself, well, let's go into the Beis HaMedrash. We'll go into the Beis HaMedrash. Maybe I'll meet someone interesting. Maybe I'll see someone there who I can do some business with. Many times you can go to shul in the morning and you meet, there's many big business deals that have been made by meeting people at the morning minyan, see? So you tell yourself, come, let's at least go to shul, or let's at least go into the Beis HaMedrash, and maybe we won't learn. Once you're in the Beis HaMedrash, oh, then it's a different story. I'm here already, so I might as well learn. So this is why, like we said, you have to be clever with the Yetzer Hara. So don't just tell him to go away. He won't go away. But tell him, let's go to the Beis HaMedrash. But then the Gemara says further. It says, when you come to the Beis HaMedrash, you shouldn't go in and close the door with him on the other side. But Moshkehu, bring him in the Beis HaMedrash with you. Why? Okay. Because you need him in the learning. It will be a different learning. Why will it be a different learning? Because if a person learns because it's a mitzvah to learn, and that's all, then he's going to be learning merely from an intellectual perspective that it's a mitzvah to learn. But if we involve the Yetzer Hara, in other words, the human qualities that we find in a person, then when he sits down to learn, he's going to learn because it's a mitzvah to learn, and he's going to learn because I enjoy the learning, and he's going to learn because he feels enormous accomplishment when he learns, and he's going to learn because it makes him feel good. And he's going to learn because now I'll know more than I knew yesterday, and I won't be such an amoritz, and I have more respect in my own eyes, and for another 100 reasons. Can you compare that learning to the first one's learning? Can you compare it? It's a different learning altogether. One is learning only from a perspective of the seichel bilvad, and the other is learning mekolo, or with the entire person. Okay. Or whatever other cheshbainer said he can throw into it. Okay. And it becomes a different learning. That's why the Gemara says, don't just say no to him, and don't even bring him to the Beis HaMedrash and leave him outside. Moshkehu, bring him in the Beis HaMedrash, and you'll have a different learning. Okay. This is what is meant. Mekarevay. There's a time to bring the Yetzer Hara close. It's because of this we see the importance that when a person does mitzvahs or he learns Torah, he has to learn and do what he can to enjoy. A person must not only be a fruma Jew, he must learn to enjoy his Yiddishkeit, to enjoy his mitzvahs. Must not only keep Shabbos, he must learn to enjoy his Shabbos, to enjoy his learning, with whatever the many reasons that there might be, and to do everything possible to make it easier for him, not difficult. You have certain people that are obsessed with making things more difficult for themselves. If this is sufficient, no, we got to add chumras on it. We have to add this on it to make it more difficult. This is just the opposite of what we're speaking about. The Vilna Gaon consistently writes. Okay. Actually, I was talking not long ago on Shabbos to Rabbi Loy, and we saw again in the Vilna Gaon, and he said, Erot ain't shita. He says he's always right in this. He always writes that a person should make a mitzvah easy for himself, not difficult. He says when he learns Beichelimut Kal, he should choose something when he learns that's easy for him, not too difficult. After he becomes more adept, more expertise, then he can go into more difficult things. Or he says he shouldn't reach for things that are beyond him. He says, why? Because then it'll become too difficult for him, bekotzloi, and he won't enjoy it. And if he doesn't enjoy it, what will happen? Beholachloi. He'll walk away from it. This is what it means, orum beyetzer, that you should be clever with the yetzer hora, that you should involve him. Try to make Torah and mitzvahs and Yiddishkeit easier for the person, where he'll want to do it, and more pleasant for the person, where he'll want to do it, and then he'll go for more and more, just like when you're feeding a sick person. What do you try to do? You try to make the eating easier for them, more pleasant for them, and then they'll go for more and more. But not like a xila fool, that he'll try to make things more difficult for himself. He'll try to make them unpleasant for himself. And this the Vilna Gaon is saying, and the Vilna Gaon, there was no one that came to higher levels than him. He's telling you the secret how he came to these levels. He says, because if you'll make it difficult for yourself, if you'll make it unpleasant for yourself, in other words, you're leaving the Yetzer Hara away, then the Kotzloi, it'll become unpleasant for himself. So what if it'll become unpleasant for himself? But it's a mitzvah to learn. It's like the person who's eating intravenous, how long would it last for? Okay. And he'll walk away from it eventually. That's why you see so many people walk away from learning, and they walk away from mitzvahs, and they walk away from Yiddishkeit, because it was never made easy for them. It was never made pleasant for them. So their only bond was the intellect. That's not a strong enough bond in this world. For a person who loves it and enjoys it, there's a human bond also. And that's the Yetzer Hara, and that's what we have to be mevorach on. A number of years ago, Reb Goldberg, the Rosh Yeshiva from Kerem Yardel, visited South Africa. So he told me, and this, in this vein, that he heard a story once from Rav Futner, Zecher Tzadik Levracha, the Chaim Berlin Rosh Yeshiva, who had heard it from the Rebbetzin of Reb Itzel Petterberger. Reb Itzel Petterberger, that was the Rav of Petersburg. He was a Talmud of Reb Yisrael Salanter. And he had told him, his Rebbetzin had told Rav Futner a story about Reb Yisrael Salanter. What was the story? He says there was once a group of Talmidim, his students, that came Elul. They said, we're going to go to an obscure place of the city, outside of the city. We'll find a little Beis HaMedrash, and we'll sit there for the 30 days of Elul, and we'll learn Torah, and we'll concentrate on learning Lishmo, where we will learn only L'shem Mitzvah. Very good undertaking. Rabbi Israel heard about it, so he said, let me go see Bustutzich. Let me go see what's happening there. He went, he came back, they asked him, what did you see? He said, Torah ich gesehen. Excuse me. He said, Lishma ich gesehen. I saw L'shem Mitzvah. Torah nicht gesehen. But I didn't see Torah. This is what he meant. He said, I saw everybody there lishma, all only with the intent to fulfill the mitzvah, but I cannot say that I saw Torah in its fullness. Now they were trying to learn without the Yetzer Hara. A similar story is what my Rebbe, the Mordechai Gifter, that tells the Rosh Yeshiva, once told me. He said his Rebbe, Rabbi Yitzchok, from Tales, once said to him, he says, Torah is the most difficult mitzvah to fulfill lishmo. Why? Because the enjoyment and the simcha is so great. He says, the enjoyment, he had developed such a simcha and such an enjoyment in learning Torah that he sometimes wondered what was the greatest motivator. This is what the old tells of Rosh Hashiva was saying. What was his greatest motivator of learning? Was it because of the mitzvah? Or was it because of this enormous joy that he got from it? He says, therefore, it's a very difficult mitzvah to fulfill lishma. And I can tell you, under Rav Gifter, there was no one that I ever saw labor in Torah like he labored, and with such great determination, right, against all obstacles. Yet the enjoyment was enormous. When sometimes we would come to a very, very difficult sugya, which was a very longish sugya, he would say, now we're going to have some real fun, he would say. See? Now we're going to have some real fun. Okay? This is what was learning to him. This was part and parcel of the learning. And then just one final word. On my recent trip to America, I was visiting my older brother in Memphis, Tennessee, and there is a Talmud Chochem by the name of Ramnote Greenblatt. So he told me a story, and it's basically what we're speaking about this evening. He said he was sitting with a group of Rabbonim in Eretz Yisrael, and they were discussing why is it that we have an enormous amount of people learning in yeshivas today, but we're not producing the level of Gedele Torah, of great Torah learners that existed in Litta. Why? What is the difference? So there he says was sitting Harav Dayan Grossness, Shlita. Dayan Grossness, that's the father of Reborach Grossness, who is the Rosh Kedel here in Johannesburg. So he said, I'll tell you why. He says, because we lost the Yetzirah, we lost not the Yetzirah, Arayin and Beis HaMedrash, because they are not leaving the Yetzirah in the Beis HaMedrash. They leave him outside. And they asked him what he meant, and very concisely he spoke of what we spoke about. And then this Ramnote Greenblatt elaborated more. He was referring to this Gemara. Too many people today, they are attached to their learning, or they are attached to their Yiddishkeit, merely because this is something you have to do. It's true, it's something you have to do. It begins there, but by too many people it ends there also. While in Lithuania, that was only the beginning. Together with that, they had enormous simcha and enormous enjoyment and enormous ni'imus, beauty and pleasantness. It had become the most wonderful experience of their lives there. So they weren't only attached to their learning merely from the intellectual perspective, but every power of the human being went into it. And therefore they could achieve so much more. And I mentioned this story to Reborach Grossness when I came back here to Johannesburg, and he said, this is what my father is always saying. This is what the Chazal mean, that there's a time to push away the Yetzirah, there's a time to bring him close and put him to work. This explains to us what we started on, the Shiran, that when they brought the Maris, they brought the mirrors, and Moshe Rabbeinu said, no, we can't use that in the Mishkan. Asuin le Yetzohara. These mirrors were made for the Yetzohara. They were made for not reasons of the Yetzotov. They were made for vanity. Okay? They were made for self-beautification and so forth and so on. HaKadosh Baruch Hu said, that's true, that's what they were made for. But this Yetzohara was utilized for good purposes. It was utilized to bring myriads of Bnei Yisrael into the world. Therefore, kabel, accept them. And where did they find their place? At the highest levels. In that which brought sanctification to the Kohen when he would go to the Mizbeach, to the altar of Hashem. That means that without the Yetzirah, the world has one level, Tov. But with the Yetzirah, used properly, it can come to Tov Mi'od, even the highest levels, like the Maral brings for you, after Eis Hashem Elokecha, to this level. This is the explanation of this subject, which is very, very important.
The Yeshiva Gedolah hopes that you have learned much from the presentation. For further information, or to order additional shiurim, please contact the Yeshiva Gedolah of Johannesburg. Visit us on the web at www.ygj.co.za or contact us via email at audio@ygj.co.za, via phone at 011-648-7906, via fax at 011-648-0085, and via post at P.O. Box 66226, Broadway 2020, Johannesburg, South Africa.